The question was asked, we find that Eliyahu appears in different places. We find in the Gemara that he appears. According to one understanding, Pinchas is Eliyahu. So Eliyahu himself is a reappearance of Pinchas. How are we to understand this? How does Eliyahu appear? So the Psukim tell us in Melachim that when it came time for Eliyahu to pass away, so there was a special procession in Eliyahu's passing. Prophets greeted his student Elisha and told him, "Do you know that today Hashem is taking your master from upon you?" Doesn't say he's going to die. It says Hashem is going to take him. And then there's this whole procession where this happens time and again, until finally they're walking together talking in Torah, and chariots of fire come and swoop Eliyahu up into heaven. We have on tradition that Eliyahu became an angel. And Eliyahu, he didn't die, he became an angel. And because Eliyahu, towards the end of his life, spoke badly about the Jewish people, God gave him the position where his responsibility is to speak well about the Jewish people. On Pesach night, he comes and shows that we're keeping our mitzvah of the Seder. Every time we make a bris milah, we have a special place for him. We say he comes to every bris to go back and testify to Hashem. Yes, I saw. They're maintaining your covenant. They're doing the circumcision. The Gemara tells us that Eliyahu used to come to different rabbis and teach them. Rav Anon had a steady session every night. He learned with Eliyahu. And that's where we have the Tana de Be Eliyahu. The Gemara gives us other stories where Eliyahu would frequent different Tanan and different Amoran. They'd have conversation with Eliyahu. So we see that Eliyahu is given this position where on the one hand he's an angel, but he's an angel in the respect that he hasn't passed away and he's very, very holy. But people who are not prophets speak to him. We see that Eliyahu appears in a fashion that seems not like other angels. Other angels, according to the Rambam at least, are only seen in visions of prophecy. And Eliyahu seems to appear in the middle of a marketplace. Eliyahu, we learned the story of Eliyahu speaking to Tanan, Amoram, in the marketplace. So Eliyahu appears, and Eliyahu has different roles. Sometimes Eliyahu appears dressed up like a beggar. Sometimes Eliyahu appears dressed up like an Arab. We have a few stories where he shows up like an Arab. Throughout the Gemara, when the Gemara quotes Hahu Saba, that elder, so they're, one of the Tosfos is of the opinion that always refers to Eliyahu. Anytime the Hahu Saba shows up, so usually he's filling in something. The rabbis didn't know this, they didn't know that, or the rabbi's wife didn't get it right exactly, went to light Shabbos candles, so that grandfather showed up and told her, no, you got to do it like this, you got to do it like that. So that grandfather, Ahu Saba, according to one of the Balei HaTosfos, is Eliyahu. So it seems that Eliyahu appears to holy people, but he appears even to people who are not prophets. There are all kinds of stories that the Sfaradim tell over about Eliyahu appearing. There are stories that the Hasidim tell over. So those, I don't know what to do with. If you're a Sephardi, so you know the Sephardi stories. If you're, I'll share with you one beautiful story because it has an important message. But unfortunately, I don't have the safe here and I don't remember the name. Approximately 150 years ago, there was a town, I don't remember if it was in Iraq, I don't remember, one of the areas where the Sephardim lived. And the rabbi of the town had a nephew who was always drunk. And everyone saw that the rabbi treated this nephew with great reverence, with great respect. So one time they asked him, why do you treat him with such great respect? He's a drunk. So he told them, let me tell you about this nephew of mine. This nephew of mine, when he was a young man, went into a room, closed the door, and started learning. And year after year, he was in there learning. And he started writing works. He reached tremendous heights. And one day his mother was talking to her friends. And when she was talking to her friends, so they told her, it's unhealthy for him. Psychologically, sitting in a room for years now, learning. You got to get him to go out. And so his mother said, I can't convince him to go anywhere. So these friends gave her bad advice. They told her, look, when he goes to sleep, take all his writings and burn them. So she listened to this bad advice. When her son went to sleep, after years of work, learning and writing works of Torah, she took all of it and burnt it. And when he awoke and saw it all in ashes, he became so depressed, he went crazy. And he couldn't overcome his depression. Whatever we tried to do, he couldn't overcome his depression. So the only way he could function is if he could forget the fact that all his Torah was burnt. And the only way he can forget it is by drinking wine. He drinks wine and he forgets that trouble, and then he could function. But you should know that he's a very holy man. One time he was he walked in drunk, and there was a great rabbi who came to our town, and late at night this rabbi was giving a shiur in the Zohar. So he was giving shiur and all the rabbis were there and learning from him and listening to him, and this nephew of mine walked in and went to sleep, and when he awoke he was no longer drunk, and he sat and listened to the class after washing nagel nasa. He sat and listened to the class, and the rabbi thought, okay, this man showed up drunk, he showed up late, what's with this guy? So he's sitting in the class and he raises his hand, and the rabbi asks him, yes, what do you want? So he asked the rabbi a question, and the rabbi thought, oh, he's a simple person, so he thinks for a second, and suddenly he realizes that it's a very, very deep question. So he's embarrassed. Here this drunk who just walked in off the street, he had a nap, is asking him a question and he can't figure out the answer. So the rabbi said, excuse me, and he made believe he was going to the bathroom, and he sent up a prayer that Hashem send him Eliyahu HaNavi. And when he walked out, Eliyahu was there, and he asked Eliyahu what the answer is, how he could answer up that Zohar. So Eliyahu taught him Shad, and then he came back in, washed his hands as though he had just come back from the bathroom, and answered the question. He continues giving the lesson, and again the nephew raises his hand and asks the second question, and this one is even more difficult than the first one. So this great visiting rabbi sits there and he's thinking and he's thinking, and he says, excuse me. He goes out as though he's going to the bathroom again. Again, he prays, Eliyahu comes, he asks Eliyahu the question, Eliyahu gives him the answer, he comes back, explains the answer, continues with the Zohar. And as he's continuing, the nephew raises his hand a third time and asks him a question. And this time, he's really stumped. And the nephew tells him, Rabbi, do me a favor, if you go outside, Eliyahu isn't going to help you to give you the answer to this one either. This one, even Elio won't be able to help you with. This one is as deep as it gets.
He knows already.
So, this, the rabbi was telling about his nephew. He said one time it was Shabbos, and he was supposed to give a speech, and his nephew went and he saw he was out of wine. So he went to the cellar, the one who owned the tavern in town, and he said, do me a favor, open the tavern, I need wine. And the tavern keeper said, it's Shabbos, I'm not opening the tavern unless the rabbi tells me to open the tavern. So he goes to the rabbi, the uncle, and the rabbi says, no. And then the rabbi gets up to give the speech. This the rabbi is telling over the story. And he gets up to give the speech, and he's about to talk, and his nephew's sitting there in the corner, and his nephew gives him one look, and he forgets his whole speech. And he's standing up there trying to think what he's supposed to say, and he can't remember anything. So he goes over to his nephew and he says, do me a favor, I want to give a speech and you're not letting me. So the nephew said, well, you have something you need to do and I have something I need to do. So you don't let me do what I have to do, I'm not going to let you do what you have to do. So he went to the tavern keeper and said, okay, give him some wine. And then he was able to give the speech. So this is a Sephardi story quoted in, what's the name of the Sefer? Avat Chesed. I forgot the name of the word. So I'm listening, tell me a story. I'm just saying, there are many stories, and all of these stories are very interesting and fascinating, and they're nice stories. And whoever wants to believe them, Ashrav, and whoever doesn't want to believe them, Ashrav as well. The Gemara tells us stories about Eliyahu, and the Gemara does give us this idea that Eliyahu is still frequenting among us. And we sing that also in the Zmiros of Matzei Shabbos. We say, Ashrei mi, praised is the one that Eliyahu appears to him. Seemingly indicating that Elio is still around. He's still appearing to people.
I can think of the last appearances of Elio when I think was in 1917 in Salonika during the big fire. There was a fire broke out in Shabbat in different places in different parts of the Jewish quarters. And accidentally, of course. And it burnt down two-thirds of the Jewish quarters, including all the synagogues and libraries and the Beit Midrash, everything was a huge disaster.
Yeah.
in all this disaster, there were like the few stories of people who like miraculously were saved by the fire. Like the whole house burned down, and after like the firefighters were going through the ashes, they found like a totally white baby. Like the whole house was burned down, everything like, but still it was like nothing, with another scratch on it and stuff like that. And many people were like a lot of young people, mostly children, and there were also some older people. And they said that although, like, what had they in common? They were all innocent. Like in Asia, they wouldn't be able to like do really anything bad. Or they were in an age where they're very responsible for like fire was like seen as a result, as a punishment for Hashem. Most of the Jews didn't keep Shabbat anymore at this time. And like all those who during the fire realized that's the result of our doing, Hashem allows our city to burn down after almost 600 years of the center of Judaism. The center of Judaism is burning down because we didn't value it anymore. And all those who had this like epiphany, they were saved.
Interesting.
And, like, and a lot of people said, like, and then after they had this epiphany, Eliyahu Nabi came and told them what to do and how to escape, and they're like, duck now, run out now, now to the left, now to the right, and
so, and yeah.